simply by hearing about your lotus feet, with eagerness and devotion, and by meditating upon them, within the heart, one at once becomes enlightened with knowledge. And on the strength of detachment, one becomes pacified. We must therefore take shelter of the sanctuary of your lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, the miracles of meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord with eagerness and devotion are so great that no other process can compare to this. The minds of materialistic persons are so disturbed that it is almost impossible for them to search after the Supreme Truth by personal regulative endeavors. But even such materialistic men, with a little eagerness for hearing about the transcendental name, fame, qualities, etc., can surpass all other methods of attaining knowledge and detachment. The conditioned soul is attached to the bodily conception of the self, and therefore he is in ignorance. Culture of self-knowledge can bring about detachment from material affection, and without such detachment, there is no meaning to knowledge. The most stubborn attachment for material enjoyment is sex life. One who is attached to sex life is to be understood as devoid of knowledge. Knowledge must be followed by detachment. That is the way of self-realization. These two essentials for self-realization, knowledge and detachment, become manifest very quickly if one performs devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. The word dhira is very significant in this connection. A person who is not disturbed even in the presence of cause of disturbance, is called dhira. Sri Jamunacharya says, quote, "Since my heart has been overwhelmed by the devotional service of Lord Krishna, I cannot even think of sex life. And if thoughts of sex come upon me, I at once feel disgust." Unquote. A devotee of the Lord becomes an elevated dhira by the simple process of meditating in eagerness on the lotus feet of the Lord. Devotional service entails being initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and following his instructions in regard to hearing about the Lord. Such a bona fide spiritual master is accepted by regularly hearing from him about the Lord. The improvement in knowledge and detachment can be perceived by devotees as an actual experience. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu strongly recommended this process of hearing from a bona fide devotee. And by following this process, one can achieve the highest result, conquering all other methods. Simply by hearing about your lotus feet with eagerness and devotion, and by meditating upon them within the heart, one at once becomes enlightened with knowledge, and on the strength of detachment, one becomes pacified. We must therefore take shelter of the sanctuary of your lotus feet. So, just by hearing about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes detached from material attachment. And describing that process, Prabhupada says that living entities have forgotten Krishna, and that's why they have fallen in this material nature. And the process to go back to Godhead is just the remembrance of Krishna. If we remember Krishna, then we will become qualified to go back to Godhead. It's a very, very simple principle. We forgot Krishna, that's why we have become bound by the material nature, which is actually very, very miserable. And if we want to go back to Krishna, then we simply have to remember Krishna. If we just remember Krishna, then very easily we can go back. And the method for remembering Krishna is chanting his holy name or hearing about his glory and pastime. As we chant Krishna's holy name and as we hear about Krishna's pastime, then our consciousness, our heart, actually becomes attached to Krishna. And that is what is called meditation. That's why it has been pointed out here that by meditating upon the lotus feet of the Lord, meditation actually means the flow of consciousness into certain object, a certain point. Wherever our flow of projection of our consciousness, the concentration of our consciousness is called meditation. And as a matter of fact, everybody is actually meditating. It's not that we have to separately try to learn how to meditate. We already know how to meditate and we are already meditating. In the material nature, everyone is meditating. But unfortunately, they are meditating on material objects. They are meditating on the objects of their sense gratification. Everyone is constantly meditating. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dhyate Vishayan Purusha. Dhyate means actually meditation. Every living entity is actually meditating on what? Vishayan Purusha. Vishay means objects of. Everyone is meditating on the objects of the senses, and that's why everyone is becoming more and more involved in the material nature. Due to his meditation on the objects of his senses, he develops shanga or attachment. From attachment develops lust. Develops anger, krodha. Krodha bhavati shanmoha. And due to our anger, we become bewildered. Shanmohat viti bhikrama. And due to our bewilderment, we lose our memory. Smriti bhikrama. Smriti bhikrama, smriti bhamshat buddhi nasha. And because of our losing of our memory, because of our forgetfulness, buddhi nasha, we lose our intelligence. And buddhi nashat, pranashati. And when one loses his intelligence, then he becomes doomed. Pranashati is lost completely. He is doomed. So this is how, by meditating on matter, we become doomed. So meditation doesn't mean think of matter or to project one consciousness on material objects. The real meditation means to project our consciousness onto the lotus feet of Krishna. That's why it has been pointed out here that Brajema Pakte Anghi Saroja Pitha. Pitha means abode, Saroja means. Saroja means lotus. Saroja Pitha means the lotus abode of your feet. The abode of your lotus feet. Pakte Anghri. Anghri means feet. Pakte Anghri, Saroja Pitha. And the abode of your lotus feet. Let my mind, Brajema, let my mind, let my consciousness just go. Brajama means must go to. Braja means to move or to go. Brajama, let it go to the abode of the lotus feet. Other things which have been pointed out, manasa raja hamsa. The mind has been compared to a swan. And the swan always remains, swan stays wherever there is. Swans are very fond of lotus. So, the lotus feet of the Lord naturally attract the swan-like mind. The swan is called Hamsa, and the devotee's mind is like a swan. Hamsa or Paramhamsa. So naturally devotee's abode of his consciousness is the lotus feet of the Lord. Now if we want to become detached from all our material attachments, we do not have to make all kinds of unnecessary arrangements, all kinds of artificial arrangements. All that we have to do is just meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord. And further is saying that it's actually very, very fortunate those who have learned how to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, they are actually very, very fortunate. Because just by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, they become totally detached from material attachments. And not only that, they become totally detached from material attachments, they also become situated in transcendental knowledge. So two aspects, secondary effects of devotion is actually detachment and knowledge. Jnana vairagya yuktaya. Devotional service to the Lord is yukta, means linked with jnana and vairagya, knowledge and detachment. So those who are rendering devotional service unto Krishna, they automatically develop knowledge and detachment. And to the degree he is attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, to that degree he will become situated in knowledge and detachment. Devotees don't have to separately endeavor. Devotees read books not to increase their knowledge. Devotees read books. Why? To meditate on the pastimes of Krishna. And Prabhupada's purports are there to help us understand the pastimes of Krishna, understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Devotees are not so keen on acquiring knowledge. Because the knowledge that we acquire with our sense perception, with our senses, that knowledge cannot give us the ultimate benefit of Krishna consciousness. So that's why devotees are naturally not very interested in knowledge part of it. But then again we see that the devotees are very, very intelligent. They have the knowledge. How is that? Usually, the people when those who study in colleges and universities, we see that they, how many hours, minimum 6-7 hours, they give to acquire knowledge. I mean, apart from the university classes. I'm sure in school, when one is in school, how many hours they spend? Just besides school, just making it, studying, preparing for school. Maybe you are the last one in school. How many hours do you have to spend in school? In study? No, outside, at home. In a way to prepare your homework? Okay. But as devotees, how many hours do you spend studying? How many hours? But when we are in school, the knowledge that we had and the knowledge that we have now, is there any difference? In the schools every day we used to spend about 6 hours in school and another 2-3 hours at home studying, 9 hours. But as devotees at the most, we listen to a class for 1 hour. And out of that 1 hour, I'm sure about 10 to 15 minutes goes to sleep. And then for about half an hour, we read. So maximum 1.5 hours of study. But devotees are situated in absolute knowledge.
where the knowledge is coming from? Can you tell me where the knowledge is coming from? Yeah, I mean, how does a devotee get the knowledge? Then why doesn't everybody get the knowledge? Because devotees are surrendered to Krishna, devotees are serving Krishna, that's why the knowledge automatically becomes manifest. Can somebody specifically point out how a devotee receives the knowledge? Not really. Every day we sing that. Chakhu dan diloge, janme janme prakushe, divva gyan hride prakashe. Divva gyan means what? Transcendental. And hride means heart. And prakashito means? Now, prakashita means manifest. Prakash means manifest, and prakashita means manifested. This divine knowledge becomes manifest in our heart by the mercy of the spiritual master. And prema bhakti jaha vete avidya vinasha jate vede gaya jaha vete. Prema bhakti, by the mercy of the spiritual master, we develop the loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And avidya vinasha jate, ignorance is destroyed by his mercy. We develop the love for Krishna and ignorance is completely destroyed. Avidya vinasha jate. So that is the mercy of the spiritual master. Actually, by the mercy of the spiritual master, everything is. That's why the secret of success in spiritual life is to receive the mercy of the spiritual master. And who is the spiritual master? The spiritual master is the person who is representing Krishna. The spiritual master is the person who gives us the knowledge of Krishna. And he makes us Krishna conscious. Spiritual master's position is not a matter of designation or a position or anything official or artificial. Jai Krishna Tattva Vetta Shai Guru. One who knows Krishna, he is qualified to become a guru. When you go out to preach, and when you speak to people about Krishna, no matter how little we know about Krishna, but when you speak to them about Krishna, we are actually acting like a guru. As a matter of fact, every member in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is supposed to be a guru. And that's why Prabhupada emphasized so much on preaching. We must go out and preach. What is the meaning of preaching? What is preaching? Preaching is giving Krishna. These people are in ignorance, they do not know about Krishna, and we are just going out and giving them Krishna consciousness. Why are you suffering? We go out and tell people. Why are you suffering? Don't you realize that you are suffering? But unfortunately, they are so foolish that they think that they are enjoying it. They do not realize. People completely bound by the modes of material nature don't realize their suffering condition. But sometimes somebody becomes aware of his suffering. And then he hears when he comes in contact with the devotee. The devotee goes and tells him, why are you suffering? And he realizes, yes, I'm suffering. Why am I suffering? time in Sweden, such an opulent country, the state is taking care of everybody. No one is supposed to suffer here by the arrangement of the government. But still people are committing suicide. Why? Does people commit suicide because they are happy? Does anyone commit suicide out of his ecstasy? Never. But what's the suicide rate in Sweden? I think it's the second or the first is, I think, Austria. The highest suicide rate is in Austria. Second is, I think, Sweden. Isn't it? But why is that? People are supposed to be, people are supposed to have everything here. The government takes care of everyone very nicely, sees that everyone has everything. Everyone has a color TV, everyone has a car, everyone has a house, everyone has enough money. Even if one doesn't have a job, he has the social security. So why people are suffering then? Another thing is that the rate of alcoholics is very high in Sweden. One takes alcohol simply to forget his present condition. Isn't it? When somebody wants to forget, then he takes drinks. People are feeling heavy, miserable, bitter. Then he goes and takes a drink. And then he feels alright. He's relaxed. Why is that? Why people are taking so much alcohol? Because people are miserable. And why they are miserable? Because they have forgotten Krishna. Krishna bhulishayi onadi bhukhi atoe maya tare daishunshan. When a living entity forgets Krishna and projects his consciousness externally, bhukhi, then maya gives him all kinds of misery. Shongshar dukkha, miseries of the material existence. So, when we remind them that the cause of their misery is their forgetfulness of Krishna, and we remind them of Krishna, that is actually the position of a guru. So, we have to understand that in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, everybody has to become a guru. One may have the official recognition, and one may not have the official recognition. But everybody has to play the role of a guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Amar Abgai Guru Hoya Tarmai Desh. In my order, you become the guru and deliver the whole universe. But before we become a guru, we have to become what? To become a, what is the qualification of a bona fide guru? But what is the, that is true, but what is the first qualification? Very good. He must be surrendered to a bona fide guru. One must be connected to the parampara. And how does one become connected to the parampara? By being surrendered to another bona fide guru. So, that means the first qualification of a guru is that he has to become an ideal shishya. He has to become an ideal disciple of a bona fide spiritual master. And that is the meaning of disciplic succession. Krishna gave the knowledge to who? Brahma. And Brahma received the knowledge without any deviation. A very good disciple. Brahma is a very good disciple. So whatever Krishna gave, he just received it without deviating at all. And then Brahma gave this knowledge to Narada. Narada also was a very good disciple. When Brahma gave the knowledge, Narada listened to it with rapt attention and he received the knowledge in the heart. Narada gave it to Vyasa. So then Vyasa gave it to his disciples. They gave, and he gave it to his disciples. So this is how this knowledge is flowing. So good guru means a good disciple. Unless one is a good disciple, he cannot become a good guru. A bona fide guru means a bona fide disciple of his guru. So we must understand that we have a very big responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. That means we all have to become gurus. And to become guru doesn't mean a position given by the society as such. It is a matter of qualification. We have to become qualified. And when you give this knowledge, first of all, when you receive Krishna consciousness, then the sign of receiving Krishna consciousness or developing Krishna consciousness is what? What are the two secondary effects of Krishna consciousness? Jnana and Vairagya. How does we realize that somebody is making advancement? He'll automatically become detached. And he'll automatically display a vast amount of knowledge. Like we have seen, Prabhupada, he never was defeated by anyone. No one could defeat Prabhupada. Big scholars. They came to Prabhupada and Prabhupada just, in front of Prabhupada, they just appeared to be like a bunch of foolish children. They were trying to argue with Prabhupada, but then they were completely stupefied. They didn't have anything to say. They just started to mutter some incoherent words. Once somebody asked Prabhupada, actually, one devotee asked Prabhupada, how come no one can defeat you? Prabhupada said, how can they defeat me? They all are insane. I am sane. How can some insane people defeat a sane man? And and yesterday I was seeing that we were in a get together in a university of Lund, and we had a meeting with some of the professors and students there. And I could see that sometimes they would come up with some arguments, and it would sound so meaningless, actually. That shows that they do not have any understanding. Like somebody said that some philosopher, quoting some philosopher, he said that everything may disappear, but everything actually exists. He says that ultimately everything exists in language. Then my answer to him was, what if somebody doesn't understand that language? And he didn't have any answer. Then another man, quoting a Chinese philosopher, some Zen philosopher, he said that somebody was dreaming. He wrote that once I was dreaming and I saw that I became a butterfly. And I was very happy. I was flying around the flowers. And then I woke up and my dream disappeared. I was no more a butterfly. And then I was thinking whether I am Joe Schmo or whatever his name was. Am I Joe Schmo dreaming that I am a butterfly, or I am a butterfly that dreaming that I am Joe Schmo? So my answer to that was, both are actually dreams. So best thing to do is to wake up. Don't dream anymore. Just wake up. And then you realize that you are neither Joe Schmo nor a butterfly. You are somebody else. But actually these people don't have any knowledge. They remember a few things, store them in their mind, and then they just bring it out with their intelligence, whatever little they have. Anyway, but still, I think Mananda Prabhu was telling that they are very nice people. So, if they are sane people, then I wonder how insane people actually are. So, let us try to develop our attachment to Krishna, then all our problems will be solved. We do not have to separately endeavor for anything. And a person who is not disturbed, even in the presence of cause of disturbance, is called Dhira. Dhira means one who is completely peaceful, completely unaffected by any kind of cause, any disturbance, completely undisturbed. And Prabhupada is explaining that that of all material attachments, sex desire is the most strong one. So one must try to become free from that desire. One who is attached to sex life is to be understood as devoid of knowledge. So that's the thing. The detachment means becoming detached from dhanam, janam, and sundari. Not being attached to opulence, wealth, not being attached to name and fame, and not being attached to opposite sex. So that is, and when one becomes a devotee, he naturally becomes detached. So one doesn't have to separately endeavor for detachment. We just develop our Krishna consciousness. We develop our attachment to Krishna, then we become automatically disgusted. We become automatically disgusted with everything else. There is Krishna and Maya. So, in this material nature, we all are surrounded by Maya, the arrangements of Maya. But as we become attached to Krishna, then automatically we become detached from Maya. And we become disgusted towards all the arrangements of Maya. Like we see sometimes, we have seen ourselves with our own lives. And like, although we are very fond of eating, but when you play, as children, when you used to play, and we used to play so much that we used to forget about eating, isn't it? And if somebody came and said, come, let's go, your mother is calling you, you have to eat now. He said, no, I don't want to eat now, you go away, I'll play now. So this is how, when we become attached to something, we become disgusted with other things. So the secret of spiritual success is becoming attached. If we become attached to Krishna, then everything will happen automatically. In reality, we are neither men nor women. In reality, we all are spirit souls and we all are Krishna servants. So this attraction for each other, a man's attraction for a woman and a woman's attraction for a man, is called Maya or illusion. Actually, that is not the real thing. It is an unnatural arrangement. Man and woman both should be attracted to Krishna. They should not be attracted to some lump of flesh which is actually made of all kinds of dirty things. Stool and mucus and blood and pus and urine. That's what this body is made of. But being deluded, we think that we become attracted to this body. So knowledge means to become aware that we are not this body. We notice that the attraction is not actually for the body. Attraction is for the spirit. No matter how attractive one may have been, but as soon as he or she dies, the people, those who used to love him the most, even he won't come close to him. He'll be afraid or disgusted to touch the dead body. So it's not the body that we are attracted to, we are actually attracted to the spirit. And this is actually a reflection of our attraction to Krishna. We all are attracted to the Supreme Spirit. We can well imagine, if we are so attracted to a minute little spirit that's existing in the heart of a living entity as a spark. If we are so attracted to that spiritual spark, then how attracted we must be to the Supreme Spirit, Krishna, from whom all the spirits are coming. It's not just a matter of becoming aware of him. So that's why we must try to remember Krishna as much as we can. And Krishna is not an imagination, Krishna is reality. When we try, then Krishna reveals himself to us. We see him as he is. Krishna comes and he reciprocates love for him. If we love Krishna, then Krishna will love us back. It is not that we only want to embrace Krishna. Krishna also wants to embrace us. And how joyful it must be to be embraced by Krishna. So that's why now that we have come to the spiritual platform, we must get rid of all kinds of material attachment. We should not allow ourselves to become deluded by Maya. Maya, all that are attracting us in this material nature are actually arrangements of Maya. All the material beauty is actually Maya. So we have to understand that these are the arrangements of Maya. And they are actually trying to make us, trying to force us forget Krishna. And when I come to the West, I see that how intense Maya is here. So many arrangements. Everywhere there is arrangements of Maya. And simply trying to bewilder living entities. So I can well imagine how difficult it must be for you all to go out and preach, go out and distribute books. But the secret of avoiding the trap of Maya is to remain in the association of devotees. So we have to always remain in the association of devotees. And that's why Prabhupada gave us this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. A society of devotees. And if we remain in the association of devotees, then we will never become deluded. The association of devotees is if we are in the association of devotees, then even if Maya Devi herself comes, she won't be able to do anything to us. Isn't it? Because the association of devotees will protect us. If we become deluded, then other devotees will say, what's happening? What are you doing? That's Maya. And that's how devotees always protect us. Because we are in the association of devotees, that's why we are not eating meat. Because we are in the association of devotees, that's why we are not drinking alcohol or taking intoxication. We are not gambling and we are not indulging in illicit sex. But if one gives up the association of devotees, then maybe he'll fall down even with the ugliest woman. Because he doesn't have any shelter. That's what happens. Like when one gives up Krishna, we have seen. Sometimes, I mean, somebody becomes attracted to a beautiful woman, that is natural. Because it's a natural propensity of a living entity to be attracted by beauty. But I've seen devotees, they leave the association of devotees and then they fall down with the most hideous looking old. I was amazed, like I don't want to mention his name. One sannyasi, I met him in Paris. He just happened to be there and he got to know that I was there. So he came to see me. And he came with a lady. I couldn't figure out who she was. I don't know whether she was his girlfriend or his mother. And she was actually fit to be his mother. He must be around in his late 30s. Whereas this woman must be 55 or something. Maybe even 60. So this is what happens when one gives up the association of devotees. Also, I have seen devotees, those who have been very much glorified, had thousands of followers. They have important things that we have to remember. No matter whatever happens, even if the devotees push us out, we should come back. We have seen that in the animals. Like if you have dogs, I mean if you have ever had dogs, you try to push the dog out of the house, will the dog leave? He'll come back. And you beat the dog up, still he'll come back. Cats are even better. You leave a cat, you know, hundreds of miles away, and after about a week you'll see the cat is, you know, mewing in front of your door. She's back. So if the cats and dogs can be so loyal, so at least we should be even more loyal to them, more loyal than them, or at least as loyal as the cats and dogs are to their masters. So no matter whatever happens, we should never leave it. Does anybody have any question or comment? Becoming attachment to Krishna, what we actually are here for. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, beat your mind with a shoe 100 times in the morning. Right? And beat your mind again with a broom 100 times at night. So in the morning you beat the mind. Today, no more being attracted to Maya. Today, don't go anywhere. Just stay fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. So you train your mind in the morning, beating with a shoe. And then at night, you see, with a broom we clean. Right? At night, you consider how many dirts you have accumulated, how much dirt you have accumulated during the day. So with a broom, you beat it up, push it out. So this is how we have to become conscious, how we are deviating and how we can become fixed up. And if we try to become fixed up, then Krishna will help. Krishna actually wants us to go back to Him. And as I said, the most important thing is to remain in the association of devotees and also act like devotees. Often, we get together, but then what happens? We talk about prajapa. That's not proper. When we get together, we must talk about Krishna. We must talk about ISKCON's welfare.
we must talk about spreading Krishna consciousness. We must talk about our service. Then only we will be moving in a positive direction. We must make an endeavor to move positively, come closer and closer to Krishna. Any other question? Was that invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Oh yeah. Yeah, the other sannyasis couldn't come. But they couldn't come because of the rain.
Yeah.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Actually Advaita Acharya wanted to have the association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But for the sake of formality he had to invite others. But he didn't actually want them to come. But because they're there, he thought of inviting them. Then Mahaprabhu, understanding the heart of a devotee, he made the arrangements that he only came and others could not come. Any other question? That's service. But try not to do it while chanting japa. Finish your round in the morning and then become engaged. Phoning people to make an appointment to go and see them, to preach to them, is also service. It's service. That's Krishna consciousness. Do whatever you like to do in Krishna consciousness. If you like to talk to people, talk to people. Preach to people. Just follow the regulative principle. Chant 16 rounds at least every day. And stay in the association of deity. Then you'll be protected. Actually, 16 rounds protects us, gives us the protection. Prabhupada told us to chant 16 rounds. If you just keep chanting 16 rounds every day, you will be protected. Those who chant 16 rounds sincerely, they will not break the regulations. And as they keep on rendering service to Krishna, then they will make it. I was thinking the other day, it's like the principle of hovercraft. Hovercraft has two kinds of movement. One is the fan that pushes the air down and goes up. Right? One set of fans are below the hovercraft. And there's another set of fans that are at the back of the hovercraft. So the fan that is below the hovercraft that pushes the that keeps it up from the surface of water. And the one set of the back that pushes forward. One is pushing upwards and the other is pushing forward. One is keeping it stay above water and the other is pushing forward. Now by chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles and remaining in the association of devotees, we stay up, above Maya. And then our service gives us the push forward. So with service we go forward, and with following the four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds and staying in the association of devotees, we stay away from Maya. We stay above Maya. This is how. But if somebody is rendering service but not following the regulative principles, he is in the world. Bad life. But if you just follow the regulative principles of abundance and authority, then you will stay away from mind, but you won't make any advancement. So both are very important.
Any other questions?
Yes. In the material nature, Maya has so many arrangements. Maya makes so many arrangements. Right? So we have to be very, very careful. This is the Maya's world. Right? And we are actually in Maya. We are trying to get out of Maya. As long as we have this attachment for this body, we are in Maya. As long as we are bound by mind, intelligence, and false ego. But now we are at least trying to become free from mind, from Maya's allurement.
So I will stop now. Thank you very much. Our glorious Srila Prabhupada.